Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. So Roy, where did this all start for you?
I started, Kate, in the northern suburbs of Sydney. So I'm 16 to 9 months, and the reason I'm saying 16 to 9 months because I was going for a driving lesson with my mum, and it was about 7 o'clock of the night time, and you had to be 16 to 9 months to get your L plates this was back in 1975. So mum was taking me for a drive in the northern suburbs of Sydney, and so we're driving along, and we decided to go down this. At the time, it was a fairly bushy sort of road, and it hadn't been fully developed yet. So we're winding down this road, and all of a sudden we just pulled up, and in front of us was a craft, an alien craft, hovering, I'd say, 8 metres above the ground and about 10 metres in front of me. Now, since I've seen that, I've tried looking up crafts on the internet to see anything that looked like it. The best way I could describe it would be when people say they've seen a cigar-shaped object, craft. So this one probably fits that bill. It had red and green lights along it, and they were flashing, lighting up, going along the craft. It was obviously a bit startling, especially for my mother. I was 16 to 9 months, so I was a little bit surprised, but mum was really like freaking out. And the only memory I have of what happened next was me putting the car into reverse and being halfway across the road, chucking Yuri. So if I can just go forward now to about 6 months, and I'm guessing it was around about 6 months, I was in the house with mum, and I said to mum, do you remember when we saw that alien craft down that street? And she goes, yeah. I said, how come we never told anyone or never reported or did anything about it? And we had no total memory of what happened. We don't remember going home. We don't remember parking the car up. Nothing after that moment when we saw it, and I put the car into reverse. So since that day, I don't think a day goes past where I don't think about it. I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not into that sort of thing. Mum and I weren't out looking for aliens. We didn't He didn't talk about it at home. He was, and I still to this day don't know why Mum and I saw the craft, or, you know, why we experienced that. But it was right in front of us. I could have stopped the car. I don't know what happened when I was chucking that U-turn, but I could have stopped the car, got out, and knocked on the window or knocked on the side of the craft. It was that close. It was quite amazing. Had I been older now, I think I would have, you know, wanted to investigate it more. But at the time, their mum was like really freaking out and scared. So that's what I said. The only memory I've got is chucking into reverse and starting a U-turn. And it wasn't until about, like I said, 6 months later until I started to get my memory back again. So, so I've been interested in UFOs. I listened to other podcasts too about it, and I've heard people talk about seeing orbs and little lights in the sky and stuff. But I thought I'd better jump on and tell you my story, because this, I've got no reason to lie. I've got no reason to make up a story. I'm not writing a book on it or appearing on a TV show. It was something that happened that was right in front of me. And I'll tell you, listeners, trust me, there are aliens out there, and they've been coming to Earth, I guess, for a very long time. And it's very hard to tell people about it, because some people look at you like you're insane. Other people are interested in it, and I can understand why people don't believe it. It sounds just too far-fetched. It sounds like a great story, but it actually did happen, and it has sort of taken my interest, you know, ever since I've seen that. Then if I flash forward to 1989, my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, and we're out in the garden at late of a night time for whatever reason, I can't remember. We looked up in the sky and we saw a light up in the sky that broke up into about 10 different lights and flew off in all different directions. I know that's not my main story, but I thought I'd just mention that to you, Kay, that also happened just before my wife gave birth to our first daughter.
It really is quite a fascinating encounter, because, you know, 1975, it wasn't just, you know, yesteryear. This is quite a few decades ago. And in the 1970s, I couldn't imagine that the UFO, stigma was fantastic to kind of talk about, let alone even experience.
Well, no, nobody sort of talked about it. There was nobody that, you know, you didn't go around a cafe and start talking about UFO stories or, you know, extraterrestrials or anything like that. It just wasn't spoken about. And I think the only show that Mum and I used to watch when we were younger was My Favourite Martian, and that was a comedy show. But apart from that, nobody spoke about it. I was trying to look up through records, did anybody ever have any sightings in Sydney's northern suburbs, you know, around about that time, and I couldn't find anything. What I was interested in doing was, you know, to get some sort of memory hypnotism where, you know, you can go back to that time. But, you know, I've listened to other podcasts when I say that that's not always accurate, because your mind can, you know, bring up, you know, false stories or, you know, make up things. So I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, regression is one of those funny areas, because, you know, the human mind is a genuinely fragile thing, and it's so open to interpretation and manipulation. So there's you know, there's regression therapy people out there who, it wouldn't surprise me if they have, you know, pictures of aliens on their walls or, you know, on their desks or, you know, things like that. And then you're going in there and you're getting a regression therapy, and then your mind's telling you, hey, the thing that you saw is right there on the desk, but your mind's just kind of piecing together the puzzle in a funny way, because it's just grabbing what it kind of knows.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I heard. So, look, it's just one of those things. It's happened in my life, and I've got no clues as why it happened. I don't think aliens are here on Earth to cause any problems. I think they're here to help, if anything. I mean, with their technology, they completely wiped out my memory of it and Mum's memory of it, complete for at least 6 months. And so they've got that sort of technology. I mean, and that was back in 1975. So who knows, you know, who knows what they can do now.
What was it that kind of jogged your memory about this whole thing happening? Because, you know, 6 months is a long time to kind of go and live your life without really discussing this event and not really having any understanding or any recollection of it. So was there a moment that kind of triggered that memory for you?
I've been trying to think. That's a good question. I've been trying to think why that happened and why all of a sudden I just blurted it out to Mum. It was just... It was like something like, I guess somebody has suffered from amnesia that all of a sudden remembers their name or something. It just happened. And I said to Mum, you know, it was quite a huge thing. And I said to Mum, and Mum goes, I've got no idea why we never told anyone. So I don't know. You know, I don't want to use the old cliche that I was taken and all this sort of business. You know, that might have happened. I don't know. But, yeah, it was completely wiped of a memory until that bang. All of a sudden, I remembered exactly what happened up to that point of me chucking the U-turn.
What was your mum's reaction to you bringing it up? Was she already remembering this whole experience and keeping it from you, or you talking about it kind of jog her memory too?
Mum was sort of doubting it. She was sort of, you know, like confused. You know, did we actually see that? Did we actually do that? And I said, yeah, Mum, trust me, Mum, we did, because, you know, I was with you, Mum, so, you know, we shared the same thing. So, she doesn't remember, like, being hysterical or anything like that, or, you know, wanting to telling me to get out of there quickly, but she didn't remember that part. But she does remember seeing the craft and the lights, the red and green lights along the side of it.
What did the craft look like? Because you got... You were so close to it, and you said it kind of had that cigar shape to it with some lights on there. But could you see any texture to this craft at all?
Yeah, it looked like it was metallic. I've heard people talk about that they've seen crafts that look, you know, almost see through and transparent. This to me looked like it was more metallic, and it was. I know. People have said this, but there was no noise coming from it whatsoever, no noise at all. So it was just hovering, and it was just virtually right in front of us. I had to brake, otherwise I would have just driven straight under it. So yeah, it made no noise, and it was definitely like a metallic-y looking thing, but a long cigar-shaped type vehicle craft.
What was the surroundings like when you were close to this craft? Did you feel like you were in a vacuum, if you could remember back to the moment?
No, nothing like that. It was just like a very normal night. And it would have been like you driving home and driving around the corner, all of a sudden there's a car parked crossways across the road with its lights flashing. That's what it was like. So there was no, like, you know, beams or anything like that, or, you know, like it felt like I was being dragged towards. There was nothing like that. But having said that, that's what I'm saying. My memory is completely gone from that moment. I just tried to turn around.
Do you ever wonder what happened to you in that time? Because I know it's only speculative, but It's a rather unique situation to find yourself in, being literally 10 meters away from a UFO, and then to kind of have a whole bunch of missing time and just ending up back home again. Do you think there's more to that, or do you think it's more so a psychological thing that your mind is just kind of, it didn't know how to process that moment, and it is just kind of wiped it from your memory? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about
work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I would love to know. I think about it all the time. I'd love to know about those missing times. That's why I'd love to get that regression. But I think about that time. What actually happened? What happened the moment my mind blanked out with, you know, did they turn off my car? Were we drawn to the craft? I just don't know. I would love to know. I would really love to know. Unfortunately, my mother's passed away now, so we can't confirm stories anymore. But I'd really love to know about that time.
What was your relationship with your mum after this experience? And I guess the 6 months later where you started to remember everything, did you find that there was, a more sense of a closer relationship with her because of that?
Oh, no, I was always very close to mum. I wouldn't say that changed. It was, you know, as we were prior to seeing the craft, it was just the same. So, Mum wasn't obviously as interested in it as I was, and we'd speak about it occasionally. But I've from the moment I saw it, I think about it all the time, and I'm always very interested in, you know, your podcast, Kate, and the stories of other people experiences.
Did you ever tell anyone?
I told mates. So I've told mates. I've sat down and, you know, and said. Said to them, you know, this is what happened to Mum and I, because they know my mum, and so I'd go give them the full description. At the end of it, they'd look at me and say, no, I don't believe in the aliens, there's no such thing. And I'd say to them, well, look, I just told you, I just saw one, but it was no good sort of pursuing it, because, you know, and I can understand them not sort of believing it. And the funny thing is, at one of the churches I was attending at the time, when I said it to the pastor said it was probably something demonic rather than being alien. And I said, oh, I don't know about that, but that seems to be the general thing that Christian ministers would say.
Yeah, it's a rather unique stance that because that's not the first time I've heard that. It's a rather unique stance to kind of take on this, and I mean, personally, I really don't agree with it. I think it's just that doesn't fit the mold of the narrative that they know, and that's fine. You know, they want to put a label on it, you know, let them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he was saying that the devil was trying to confuse me. Well, I think the devil's gone to a lot of trouble to confuse me that night. It's going to be a real lot of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So back in 1975, you know, obviously the zeitgeist around popular culture relating to UFOs would have been rather, I guess, almost a comical kind of sense. And when you saw this, did you know where to place this in your mind? Like, did you know, hey, this is definitely a UFO, this is like a spaceship? How did you kind of comprehend what you were seeing in the time?
Well, we didn't know what it was at first. We were trying to comprehend that, like, you know, we were trying to go for it, like, is it a helicopter? Is it something that, you know, somebody strung lights across the trees, or, you know, what it was? And the only thing that you know, we could put it down to was an alien craft, and there was no other answer for it. There was nothing else in it, and especially with the memory loss too, sort of all tied in together with you know, what I've heard other people experience.
Yeah, it definitely does kind of fit that similar kind of tone to other encounters that kind of fit that there.
There was sort of that no mistaking that it was a craft. It wasn't like it was hidden behind trees or I was, you know, it was a beam of light that I was straining to see. It was like if I lifted a car up into the sky 10 feet above me with its lights on, that's what it looked like.
How far into the future was it that you realized that you may have seen something otherworldly?
Well, I guess it was probably when, I was only 16 or 9 months, so probably into my mid-20s, I probably got more and more interested in it and wanting to know answers and stuff. But, you know, like I was saying to you before, Kate, I just didn't know where to go or who you could talk to about, you know, those sort of things.
Yeah, the 80s would have been a really tough time to kind of deal with a situation like this and being so young and seeing something that's, you know, potentially so paradigm shifting would have been such a moment in time for you to go, wow, this world is so much more than what I'm seeing.
And especially my particular experience that I had with Mum was, you know, like I said, I've listened to other podcasts and people seeing little orbs and lights, you know, that they reckon is, you know, kilometres away, and they've seen a light move in the sky and they've got very excited. And I always think to myself when I'm listening to, you ain't seen nothing yet. I've seen when I could knock on its door. So, I'm still very interested in it. I'm very interested in, you know, listening to your guests on your show and, I guess I'll be interested until the day I die.
Do you wish you would see it again?
Absolutely. I wish I could see it, you know. As I matured, I really wish it happened to me now. It was, I would love to be able to, you know, to look at it and, you know, have that closer contact.
What do you think it is you saw? Do you think it was something from another, like, kind of galaxy, another world?
100%, yeah, definitely. It was definitely an alien craft visiting our area, visiting Earth.
It's so paradigm-shaking. And it's interesting because even though you have this missing time and you're not really overly sure of what happened, I find it so fascinating that you're 100% committed that this was definitely something not of this earth. And that, I think that's really quite an interesting note to the encounter.
Yeah. And look, even when I tell people now, Kate, even when I tell people now, they find it very hard to believe because, you know, other people have heard about alien, you know, sightings, like I said, the little orbs and lights flying around, but, they haven't heard too many stories about, you know, 10 feet in front of them and just hovering there.
Have you ever spoken to any kind of UFO researchers in the Sydney area? Because, you know, that's quite a profound encounter that you've had there. And it would be really fascinating to know if anyone else saw something around that same time.
Oh, I'd love to, you know, if you've got any contacts, I'd be happy to ring him and speak to him about it.
You'll be surprised at who listens to this podcast. We may just find someone in the shadows who may come forward and kind of share the same experience, because with UFO encounters, it happens all the time on the podcast. I'll get 3 or 4 emails about each kind of encounter in a metro area and say, you know, I think I saw that same thing because I saw something similar happening on the same night.
Yeah. Well, that would be fantastic.
So this happened in Hornsbury of New South Wales, didn't it?
That's correct, yes.
What's that like? What was it like back then? Is that close to any military bases? Is that like an isolated area?
No, it's isolated. Nothing like that. No bases. Hornsby, they called the hub. because it was close to the mountains, close to the beaches and close to Sydney, so it was in the middle of everything. But as far as bases or anything like that, no, there was nothing like that.
It's interesting. It's just I have no idea of that area, so I always like to just check, because you'll be surprised at how much UFO activity happens around just really plain, boring military bases that, you know, aren't hiding anything.
Well, I guess the closest military base would be at Richmond, the RAF there. That'd be close, and that'd be probably 20-25 k's away.
What I really like about your encounter is that it happened in a completely different time. You know, technology was so different in 1975. The drones weren't a thing. It was something, you saw something that was so tangible. It had a metallic finish to it. It was solid. It had lights on it. Like, this isn't something that you imagined because you shared it with your mother. It's a really fascinating encounter.
Yeah, that really is. And like I said, I'd love to know the reason why I saw it. Like I said, it was like, you know, we even discussed aliens or all that sort of thing happening. You know, it was the furthest thing from our mind. You know, we just never talked about it. And I don't think people back in the 70s did.
No, it wasn't really anything that was in the cultural zeitgeist. It wasn't a topic of conversation, and that's what I find really great about this type of encounter, is that, you know, you haven't really got this external influence of going, oh yeah, this is what I want to see. So, you know, maybe you can imagine it, but your encounter is just, it's just so pure and kind of unadulterated that it is. I think it adds so much credence to it.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's why, you know, I'm always very interested to hear other people's experiences with alien craft and aliens. So, I'm extremely interested in it now. Never was before, but very interested in it now.
And what do you think, like, the future holds for UFOs? Because, you know, we're kind of moving into a... It almost seems like every day we're one step closer to disclosure or away from disclosure, depending on what your point of view is on it. But what's your thoughts on the whole paradigm of UFOs in today's modern world?
Well, I think there's a very thin veil that's going to be pulled down very shortly. I think there's more and more people, you know, are coming out with their experiences and seeing it, and I don't know what the reason is, what the plan is with aliens, and how it ties in with Christianity, and it's baffling, because, you know, I consider myself a Christian, and I still believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost and everything, but how it ties in with aliens, that's got me stumped. But I do believe there's a very thin veil that's going to be pulled down very shortly.
It's a very interesting point that you bring up. There is the whole world of religion, and then the whole thing of extraterrestrial life, because it is something that, you know, potentially isn't supposed to happen. It isn't supposed to exist. So if these craft are piloted by or created by you know, off-Earth intelligences, it really does beg the question of, you know, what is going to happen to religion? Does religion change?
Yeah, I think it's slightly changing now, but younger people are getting have a different idea of religion. You know, I've never been a big person on religions. I believe in God, but I don't believe in religions, Catholics or any of that. I think we're probably more spiritual, and you know, I've never doubted God's existence. You know, even though I saw this alien craft, I've never doubted God's existence, but that's just me. You know, I'm sure it's all tied in together somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows, you know, one day we might find out the secrets to everything. And I tell you, I hope it I really hope it's in my lifetime, because I will be rather annoyed if I got to the other side and disclosure was kind of spilled out, and I missed out on living in a world where the truth was out there.
Exactly. That's in Nashville. I want to know now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, mate. I'm with you. Well, Roy, it has been absolutely fantastic chatting with you tonight, mate. I really like your encounter. I love that it happened back in the 1970s, and it was just a time of pure bliss when it comes to UFO encounters, because there was nothing out there that you could reference, nothing that you could kind of connect this to. And yeah, it is just a pure UFO encounter that you shared with your mother.
And, you know, I said to you earlier, Kate, I've got no reason to lie about this. I gain nothing from it. You know, I'm not about to write a book or anything, so I'm completely honest about it. I've got no reason to, you know, ring you up and make up a story. So I really appreciate it. I love your show too, Kate, and what you're doing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.